This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Her Vantage. This is where we speak to women of influence and leadership. We're talking about sports gymnastics, to be specific. I'm here with Sarina Sundara Raja. You would have seen her 21 years ago bringing gold back into Malaysia for the Commonwealth Games, and it's been 21 years. I spoke to her in 2010, so that's also a good 9 years since we last spoke. I know when we spoke then, you already had your school, which is the Sarina Rhythmic Gymnastics Club, or SRGC, but you've also done a lot of things after that as well. Maybe we'll just focus on the school, right? And what's been happening with the school?
Thank you, Freda, for having me here. So I've been running SRGC since 2004, since my retirement from competitive gymnastics. And ever since then, I've been really involved and focused in raising awareness about the importance of physical activity for women and girls, especially in participation in sports. So I'm all about empowering women and girls through rhythmic gymnastics, and I'm extremely fortunate and grateful to be given the opportunity through coaching through my club.
Right. And of course, you had to retire at the ripe old age of 22 because your knees went through some issues.
Yes, my knees. So it's wear and tear. Mm. I had both knee surgery, torn meniscus, and I couldn't get back into action, especially competitive gymnastics. I tried. My aim was actually to qualify for the 2004 Athens Olympics, and I decided that I couldn't get back into training, and I quit the sport with a lot of regret. Mm. However, I'm grateful to pick up coaching, and I realized that my passion lies in coaching, and I love kids. Mm. And it's one of my ways to give back to the sport that has given back a lot to me.
Right. And you coaching was not an accident? Was it an accident?
I was actually pursuing my business degree in UPM, University Putra Malaysia. And I actually took a PTPTN loan to pay off my studies. And so I picked up coaching as one of the ways to make extra income, extra pocket money to pay my loan. Okay. And so that's how I got into coaching in the first place.
All right. And then, of course, that has, obviously, it was a good transition from competing professionally.
It was. I thought it was a very natural transition because I've been in the sport for almost 8 to 9 years. And coming back to the sport, giving back and grooming the young generation of gymnasts just felt quite natural to me. Mm. And I love kids. Mm. So that was just...
How have you seen the industry grow? And I think it was because of you guys that everybody suddenly got, kids, girls specifically, got excited about gymnastics. There's hope for us all, to have won the Commonwealth Games. How have you seen the sport change over the years in Malaysia?
Yes, the 1998 Commonwealth Games actually raised a lot of awareness about rhythmic gymnastics. And suddenly there was an interest for parents to send their girls for gymnastics. And we have been doing really well in the SEA Games and Commonwealth Games. However, I think it's time that we actually aim higher and qualify for the Olympics.
Right. Okay. Now, a lot of things that you've done, and I'm just looking through it, and how, when we talk about what you're doing some work with OCM as well, the Olympic Council of Malaysia.
Well, recently, 2 weeks ago, I was actually very grateful to be offered the opportunity to be part of the Women in Sport Committee. They organized this seminar, which is in empowering women in leadership. Mm-hmm. And I was part of the panel that actually spoke about OCM's latest whistleblowing policy. Mm. So I'm extremely grateful that I'm given a platform to be able to speak and I empower women and girls through that platform as well.
Okay. And why has this become a topic, the whistleblowing policy? Why is that an important topic? Did you, were there some of the experiences you had, though, in the early days?
I believe there are not enough platforms or avenues for athletes, especially women and girls, to raise their concerns in sports. So there could be issues of sexual harassment or emotional abuse, physical abuse that's happening during training that they're afraid to bring it up with the administrators or the coaches. So this whistleblowing policy, which is initiated by the Olympic Council of Malaysia in August, it actually serves as a platform for them to feel safe, that they can come forward and speak their mind.
And of course, like in terms of back to your school, what are your lessons like? I mean, who do you teach? Do you see more interest in the sport?
Oh, definitely. So I teach at actually 7 international schools as part of the extracurricular activity in school. So that's happening during the weekdays. And then during the weekends, Friday, Saturday and Sunday, I'm mostly at my club. So currently we have 2 locations in the Klang Valley. And we are actually expanding to Ipoh Perak.
Mm.
Yes.
Okay, so this is, and you have a couple of coaches with you as well.
Yes, we have 5 development coaches and I still remain as a principal of the club. I love coaching. Mm-hmm. And also through coaching, I'm able to foster a relationship with the athletes and the parents as well to understand what are the needs in gymnastics. Recently, 2 weeks ago, I was in Ipoh Perak and I realized there is no rhythmic gymnastics club in Ipoh.
Oh.
However, there is a lot of interest, a lot of young girls, you know, keen to pick up the sport, but there is no avenue for them.
Okay, now you were saying that you teach these international kids here in KL, and then that's the weekdays, and the weekends, you do something different?
Because I realize most of the kids, they're in school, so it's easier for me to actually go to the school and teach them.
Right.
And then during the weekends, when the kids are a little bit more free, then they'll come over to my club and then they'll pursue competitive gymnastics there. So the programs in the international schools are usually recreational and at my club is competitive.
Right. And so with some of these students, they get the really good ones, they get selected into the national team. Is that how it works?
Yes. In fact, most of the gymnastics clubs in Malaysia, we actually play an important role in the sports ecosystem, whereby we nurture these athletes for the national team. So when these girls are selected for the national team, they actually leave the club and then they continue.
Right, usually at about 12 years old, is that how it works?
Yes, 11, 12.
11, 12, you've identified them and then after that's then they get adopted by the National Sports Council.
Yes, if they're selected for the national team.
Ah, okay. And so far, have you had some names that have been in the
national team? Yes, I have a few girls.
Mm-hmm. All right, okay. They're now, and I know that there is the SEA Games that's happening this year.
Yes, in Manila, Philippines.
Okay, and any of your girls there?
No, my girls are still very young.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, then I guess things that we can look forward to will be the SEA Games and Olympics next year.
Yes, that's right.
You think we'll come back with anything?
SEA Games, well, our
sure.
girls, yes. I mean, we have done really well in the SEA Games level and I'm pretty sure that they'll be able to achieve their objectives. However, they've not qualified for the Olympics next year. So hopefully the following Olympics.
Okay, why do you think we lack when it comes to, you know, the Olympics? What else can we do to improve, I guess?
I think first there must be a vision in order to for the girls to know that they are capable of qualifying and competing in the Olympic Games. And then, of course, once the vision is established, then there should be support in terms of financial and development in training and competition. Because in order to qualify for the Olympics, there are certain things that needs to be done whereby the girls will have to compete in a series of tournaments overseas in order to collect enough points for them to move to the qualifying.
All right. We'll talk a little bit about your other initiatives in just a moment. I'm here with Serena Sundara Raja. Stay tuned to Her Vantage, BFM 89.9.
Best for money, BFM 89.9.
Yeah, You're listening to Her Vantage on Enterprise. Good morning. This is Frida Liu. Her Vantage is where we speak to women of influence and leadership. We're talking about gymnastics, rhythmic gymnastics. Sarina Sundara Raja here with me. Of course, she has the Sarina Rhythmic Gymnastics Club. Now, you've got a couple of things that you're doing there as well. You've got your academy, right? The Stargaze Academy, right? Tell us a little bit about the initiatives you have there.
Well, under SRGC, we actually organize many workshops and programs. So SRGC, through our innovative events, initiatives and programs, we actually connect ideas, people and resources to promote equal opportunities for women and girls to participate in and benefit from sport and physical activity. So through our Stargaze Academy, which comprises of SRGC training, Let's Gym and Let's Move, we also have the Stargaze Empowerment, which comprises of the SRGC camp series, competition, education, which includes leadership, masterclass, speaker and workshop series. So this series are actually very inspiring and informative and fun that redefines learning through rhythmic gymnastics.
Mm. When you say redefine, for what happens there? I mean, you know, how is that empowering? How is that educational for people who attend?
Because for me, learning shouldn't be just about training. So I would like my girls to be exposed to a variety of different learning experiences. So under the masterclass series, for example, we actually bring in foreign experts. For example, last year we brought in Natalia Sokolova, who is a biomechanics expert from Russia. And this year we brought in Tatiana, who's an expert in rhythmic gymnastics technique. So when I bring in all these foreign experts, I'm hoping for these girls to learn from different coaches and different methods and training methods, yeah.
And you said girls, right? It's still very much seen as a sports for women in Malaysia when it comes to gymnastics.
Yes, for rhythmic gymnastics, it's mostly female. However, in certain part of Europe and Japan, we do have men participating in rhythmic gymnastics.
And there are different types of gymnastics, right?
Yes, under gymnastics, there are 7 disciplines. So rhythmic gymnastics is one of it.
Yeah, with the ribbon and all this.
Yes,
sort of
it's the floor exercise, right, with the music and hand apparatus. So we actually use the ball, clubs, hoop, ribbon, and rope.
Mm. And then for boys, if they do take part, it's what gymnastics do you call that?
It's still rhythmic gymnastics. However, the hand apparatus is slightly different. Mm. Like the clubs, for example, it's slightly bigger in size, and the routines are much more masculine. But it's still under rhythmic gymnastics.
Yeah, let me age myself a little bit. The first time I saw gymnastics was Nadia Comaneci, right? And this was like, you know, wow. And of course, growing up, there wasn't that sort of facility to take up that sport. But like, what an inspiration to see her, the perfect 10, you know what I mean, Nadia,
yes,
at that time, right? What an inspiration. Now, I know also you've got this thing called the Princess Cup. Yeah, so what's the Princess Cup all about?
Well, inspired by our vision of empowering youth, so SRGC, through its Princess Cup development program and competition, we are focused to raise awareness about the positive influence of the development of physical activity and sport for women and girls, and aims to increase the participation of women and girls involved in the sport movement across the region. Because for me, it's about giving a girl the opportunity to participate and to dream.
Hmm. Okay, now you actually, in terms of just over the years running it as a business, you know, what are some of the challenges you've experienced?
I would say sports, it's still political. Yes, I mean, to be honest, I just wish that, you know, people would just come together and for the sake of grooming the sport and for the athletes and not for, you know, their own political agendas.
Right. And you had an experience working with a VC and that didn't pan out for you. What was that? Why didn't it pan out and what was the learning for you?
It wasn't the right fit for me. Mm. And I realized that after 1.5 years. But it was a good learning experience. And I thought to myself, if I didn't take up that opportunity then I will never know, you know, what kind of opportunity that I would have missed if I didn't sign on the VC. But moving forward, I realized I actually have the capability in spearheading SRGC into a bigger brand.
Mm. And how do you plan to do that?
Well, first and foremost, we have the Princess Cup going on this year. So that has just been launched. And it's a princess league, actually. And one of our biggest advocates is Tengku Zatasha, mm-hmm. who is all about empowering women and girls. And I'm truly grateful to have her on board. Because for me, when I went to Ipoh, and I realized there were a lot of young children who wanted to pick up the sport, but there wasn't any avenue. And I realized this is where Princess Cup actually comes in. Mm. So Princess League is whereby we go from every state and we will actually have our club there. Mm-hmm. And we will groom, train the trainers, and hopefully we have like a bigger base of grassroots talent. And then from there, we will have a talent identification program, mm-hmm. whereby we will segregate the girls into the recreational and the elite level.
Right. You know, I know that you also do some things, your community, and this is what Tasca Permata.
Yes, it's actually one of our CSR initiatives. So in fact, I was given the opportunity and invited by the Ministry of Youth and Sports to conduct a training program for the Tasca Permata at the ministry.
Okay, and I know that one of the things that the youth and sports ministers talked about was putting money aside for esports, but you have a wish list of it being something a little different.
Yes, I'm actually very much into tech. I love, you know, how technology can actually help to grow a business and especially sports. And with our minister, Syed Saddiq, promoting esports, there's been an allocation of budget for esports. And I'm hoping to use some of that to promote gymnastics under sports tech.
Mm-hmm. And what do you mean by that?
Well, esports, mostly it's about gaming. Mm-hmm. But for us, rhythmic gymnastics is still a physical activity. However, I would like to make it a little bit more enjoyable and fun for kids to pick it up, you know, at a younger age. And so I'm hoping to have like a 360 simulator whereby the girls are able to move and have their movements captured on the screen.
Okay, so then they can also monitor themselves and see how they're moving themselves.
Yes, and then they will be actually evaluated and be given a score.
Ah, yeah. If they get a perfect 10 or not. Like when you look at the sport, right, what can media do to make it a little bit more appealing? Are we doing enough?
I feel that the media, they actually play an important role and increasing the visibility of women and girls' coverage in sport, you know, by promoting a balanced coverage. Mm. And, of course, a fair portrayal of sports people, irrespective of gender.
Okay. All right. Yeah. We won't go there. Okay, so irrespective, how do you think it's been unfair? Like, in what way, you know, if it's not a fair representation of gender? Examples. It doesn't have to be local, but just what you've seen.
Well, for example, during one of the tennis match, I saw Serena Williams, you know, when she threw her racket and she got really angry, over, you know, when the umpire, when she thought the umpire was being unfair. And how the media portrayed her the following day was, you know, very different from men who would, you know, sometimes do the exact same thing.
Okay.
Yeah. But for me, I think over here in Malaysia, media tend to be silent on the diverse role that women can play, because there's a lot of other things that you can do in sports. You know, for example, after being an athlete, you can get into sports administration. You can be a coach. You can be an official. You can manage sports facilities. And, you know, you can get into service providers like being a physiotherapist. So there are many kind of, you know, different roles that women can fit in after being active in, after retiring in sports.
Right. Okay. And then they're still, yeah, and they understand better because they've been in it.
Yeah.
Right. Now, I've had my last conversation was 2010. Now it's the 9 years. Let's say 10 years from now, right? And I'm speaking to you again, right? Hopefully not 10 years. But what do you think you'd be sharing with me in 10 years' time about SRGC?
Well, my focus for now is Princess Cup. So I'm really hoping for Princess Cup to come together and have it by next summer. July or August.
Okay, so then after that, 10 years, you see expansion. This is across ASEAN, the SRGC?
Yes, definitely. That's definitely in the plan.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Watch this space.
Thank you.
I've been speaking to Sarina Sundararaja. You've been listening to Her Vantage on Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.